Am I on?
As we are making our way back to our seats, would you turn with me? I'm going to be reading Mark 1, 1 through 11. Hear the word. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near the door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat down. Many people spread their cloaks along the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut out of the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
That music, ding, 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 makes me feel like we're in a commercial or something. Kind of gets you hyped up, gets you ready. Let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the privilege of being in your house for this Palm Sunday and celebrating your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask, O Lord, that you will just open our understanding for your word, that you will speak to us as we need, and that today, O Lord, we would just be blessed by what is going to be shared. We just thank you for your blessing and for the opportunity just to be here to share this word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of us know the story, right? Jesus in the scriptures gets to the point in his ministry. There's a point in his ministry where he actually is said to turn towards Jerusalem. In other words, he begins his final link of the journey, going towards the holy city, knowing that he has to be there by Passover. And the scripture tells us that he and his disciples get to an area near the Mount of Olives. They can probably see in the distance the city of Jerusalem. And he sends two of his disciples to the village ahead of him to find the colt that is tied there and has never been ridden. It's interesting in our scripture that we never have disciples at this point arguing with Jesus over the instructions. How many of you have ridden a horse? Anybody ridden a horse? Okay. Anybody ridden any other animals? Camel? Donkey? Oh, there's a few of you. Okay. So if you know anything about riding animals, you know that you want an animal that has already been broken in. You want an animal that is going to be steady, that is going to take commands with the reins, that's going to follow instructions, that's going to follow the path, that's been trained to go where it's supposed to go. And here is Jesus asking his disciples to go get him a colt, which is a young donkey, that has never been ridden on. And none of the disciples dare to question his instructions. But you have to imagine that some of them were thinking, did he say one that's never been ridden? Is he thinking straight? I mean, this is not the kind of animal I would want to ride in. I would want one that's broken in. I would want one that was steady. And the command to the disciples is simply, go do it. Go get it. It's going to be in the village ahead of us. It's going to be tied up on the street. Go get it. The command to go is constantly in Scripture. God is always sending us to go. Jesus is always sending us to go. How many times do we find in Scripture that Jesus tells his disciples, now you two go. Go out there. Go do what I'm telling you. go do this, go do that. He always gave them instructions to go. They weren't representing themselves when they went. They were always representing him. They were not going as just, you know, I'm John or I'm Peter or I'm Matthew. No, no, no. They were always going as what? Disciples of Jesus. They were always representing him. When Jesus sends us, we don't go on our behalf. We don't go representing ourselves. We always go representing him. And the instructions to them were simple. Untie it. Bring it here. And if anybody asks you, tell them that the Lord needs it and he will send it right back. Again, no argument from the disciples. I wonder if one of them turned to the other and said, who's collecting the bail money for when we get arrested or told on by the authorities? Who's going to help us out when they arrest us? Jesus, if they take me in, it's on you. I wonder if they questioned these instructions as well, because they have to have wondered who in their right mind would let us borrow their unused donkey that's never been ridden on. Who would say, yeah, sure, take it. Borrow it. It's never been used, but go ahead. Take it with you. I kind of like that the scripture says that they basically did what Jesus told them without arguing. They didn't suggest plan B, C, and D. They didn't say, there's these flaws with your plan, Jesus. Let me tell you why this isn't going to work. They didn't argue with the timing of it or the instructions. They just did it. Can we get to the point where we just trust Jesus when he says do something because he already knows what lies ahead? When Jesus told them they would find this colt that would be tied on the street that had never been ridden before, Jesus was not taking an educated guess. He was not predicting that maybe there would be a colt on the street that had never been used. He was telling them something that he already knew to be true, that he already was aware of, that he already had an understanding would come to pass. He didn't have to guess. He didn't have to speculate because he already knew. Some of you remember the era of maps. For those young people around here, maps are like paper copies of roads and directions. And you literally, when you were going on a trip, you literally opened it up on your dashboard and started looking to see where you were, and then kind of looked at the roads to see how you were going to get to the next place. That's a map. Now we've been spoiled by GPS. GPS tells you where you are, where you're going, and then the new ones update almost in seconds to tell you what the traffic conditions are along the way. They can predict how long it'll take you to get through an accident or a slowdown, and they're pretty close when it comes to predicting when you're going to arrive. How can they do that? Because they're receiving data from all the points along the way, from different people that are using apps and things along the way, and they're gathering all of that data of the present location where you are, the future location where you'll be, and even all the way to your final destination. And they're putting all of that together, and that's how they're able to tell you how long it'll take. The GPS is sometimes wrong. Sometimes it says you'll be there in 15 minutes and it took you 25. Sometimes it says that there's nothing on the way and all of a sudden you come up on an accident. The good news is with Jesus, there's never a mistake in reporting what's going to happen in the future. He always knows exactly what it lies ahead. He knows what he's leading you to. He knows the stumbling blocks. He knows the things that will be on the way. He knows what might cause you to take a detour. He knows everything along the way. And the disciples had learned that if Jesus says it, you can trust it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to reason with it. I just have to believe it by faith and then act on it. So the disciples did what Jesus told them. They were obedient. And there's a lot to be said about obedience. They followed Jesus' direction to a T without deviation. They didn't just go into the next village and say, you know, that donkey doesn't look great. Let's just grab this other one. You know, they didn't just say, you know, that donkey's too small to carry Jesus. Let's grab a horse. They didn't deviate from the plan that Jesus had told them to follow. And when they were interrupted in the process of untying the colt by the bystanders, they responded with exactly the words that Jesus gave them. You know, they didn't have to come up with their own words. Jesus had already told them what to say. Jesus had already instructed them, this is what you're going to say. And they did that. And they allowed them to take the colt back to Jesus. They didn't have to do anything different. We need to learn to trust that when Jesus sends us and gives us instructions, he knows what he's doing. You can trust him. When they brought the colt back to Jesus, they threw their cloaks on it and he sat on it. And the people began to spread their cloaks on the road and to cut branches and place them on the path. They began to proclaim, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who is bringing the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. Carrying Jesus requires personal sacrifice. The disciples literally took cloaks off and put them on the donkey so that Jesus could ride on it. The people along the way took off their cloaks and threw them on the ground to make a path to highlight Jesus as he was coming into the city. It would have been impossible for somebody in Jerusalem not to notice this path coming into the city with Jesus and all of these people screaming and celebrating his arrival. But it took personal sacrifice. Each one of them had to lay something down. And you know, the crowd didn't even know what they were saying. They were shouting Hosanna, which means pray, save us, deliver us. Both meanings really capture what Jesus was coming to do. Both meanings really capture what he was about. The shouts of Hosanna are a reminder that they and us needed a Savior, that we need saving, that he had to come into the city to give his life because we need grace and we need forgiveness and we need redemption from our sins. God had made so many promises, and he was delivering on those promises by bringing Jesus into the city to give his life. But there was a lot of fair weather fans in that crowd that day. Anybody know what a fair weather fan is? You know what that means? It is a fan that follows a team while they're winning. But when that team starts to sputter, they're the first ones to throw them to the side, you know, and say, oh, I don't know that team. I don't cheer for that team. That's not my team. I came here in the 90s before the Braves were actually good. Early 90s. And I remember all the fair weather fans that started buying all kinds of Braves memorabilia and hats and tomahawk shops and everything. I mean, I had friends that decked out from head to toe in Braves stuff. And they rode the high all the way to 95 when they won the World Series. And then when the team started its decline, they didn't even know where their hats were anymore. They had given up on their team. Oh, the Braves. I was never really a Braves fan. They forsook their team because they weren't doing so good. And the reality is the Braves weren't that good before the 90s. You have to go all the way back to 78, 79 when Dale Murphy was around to find a good Braves team. But a true fan sticks through the ups and the downs of the team and continues to be faithful. And you see, that day in that crowd, there were a lot of fair weather fans. Fans that loved Jesus as long as he was feeding them. Fans that loved Jesus as long as he was performing miracles. Fans that loved Jesus as long as he was, you know, entertaining them with parables in the crowd. But the minute Jesus went into the city and was betrayed and turned over to the authorities, that same crowd that used to yell, "Hosanna," began to yell, "Crucify him. Crucify him." All those fair weather believers in Jesus were no longer willing to follow him when it required personal sacrifice. Even his own disciples would leave him by the end of the week. One of the things that we learn from Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem is that we must be true believers, disciples, and followers of Jesus Christ. That we can't just follow Jesus when things are going the way we want them to. That we can't just follow Jesus when we are experiencing times of blessing or provision. That we can't just follow Jesus when my health is perfect and everything is going well at work. That we have to be able to follow Jesus even when things don't seem to be going as we want them to. That we need to learn to follow Jesus all the way to the cross. You can't give up on him because things get rough or challenging, as the kids were saying. I love how they put it. You just don't stop because it gets rough or challenging. You keep going. But today is Palm Sunday. Today is a day in which we celebrate the win. That if even for one day, Jesus was recognized as the one who brings salvation. Jesus was recognized as the one who came to deliver us from our sins. Jesus is the one that headed into the city knowing what awaited him there. And still, because of God's great love for us, went through into the city to give his life for us. Today we celebrate the win that the disciples were obedient when Jesus told them to get that colt that had never been ridden. We celebrate that God's full plan for us unfolded exactly as God had set it out. And we celebrate that the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem set into motion every single event that would happen for the rest of the week, leading to the cross and also leading to the empty tomb. That is our faith, that God so loved the world, he sent his Son so that all those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that whole plan began with a triumphant entry into that holy city. Ultimately, every single one of these events would lead to our salvation, to the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham to bring salvation to all nations through his descendants, and the promises to David that through his line would come the Savior of the world. Will you be a faithful follower of Jesus, even when it means going into the city, picking up your cross, and following him? Or will you give up on him, as so many did that week? In many ways, this is the question for us as we begin Holy Week, because we know what comes next. What comes next is betrayal. What comes next is torture, ultimately death on a cross. What comes next is suffering for him as every one of his disciples left his side and he carried the sin of the world on his shoulders. And what's left is God redeeming us through him when he brought him back to life. But as we do Holy Week, We're invited to go through every one of those steps and to really ponder everything that Jesus did. We always want to jump to Easter Sunday. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to just go straight to the empty tomb? But to do so would be to underestimate the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, going through the rest of the week, the suffering, the pain, the death, the abandonment, and ultimately, Him carrying our sin all the way to the cross. I pray that as we continue to go through this week, we will continue to follow Jesus. We will continue to listen to His directions and follow them. We will continue to trust that He knows what lies ahead and that we will be faithful as He has been faithful to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for Palm Sunday. I thank You for the disciples' obedience and their willingness to do what Jesus commanded them. I ask, O Lord, that You will put in us an obedient spirit to You, an obedient spirit to Your will, a spirit willing to surrender, O Lord, whatever it is that You ask us to do. We ask, O Lord, on this day also, that as we go through this week and we ponder the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that You will help us to remember that You call us to lay down our lives to lift up the name of Jesus. Help us to be like those disciples that were willing to take off their cloaks and lay them down so that Jesus would be highlighted and so that others would see Jesus. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open if you would like to come for prayer. As always, the green section is prayer by yourself. Anywhere else, somebody from our prayer team will come and pray with you. And just a reminder, after the service, if you need food, don't forget to see me for your ticket. If you have a neighbor or a family member that could use the food, please come. We bought over 7,000 pounds of food. So there's a lot of food downstairs.